Your friend wants to learn about your favorite band, but they've never listened to them before. You want to show what the band is all about, so you build a playlist. But there's a catch. You only get to play
five essential tracks.
I'm Ben.
I'm Joel.
I'm Jacob.
I'm Josh,
and these are the five essential tracks for Johnny Cash. Welcome back to Five Essential Tracks. I'm Josh, and I am joined by our usual panel of co-hosts here, Joel, Ben, and Jacob, here to discuss Johnny Cash with you. So here's how this works. Each host in turn will introduce a song for consideration, which will then be discussed by everyone and voted on. A green light is a go, and it's on the list with four greens. A red light is an instant stop. Once a song has been red lighted by any host, it's off the table. The yellow light means more discussion is needed. Once the five essential tracks are finalized, you can listen to them, as well as other songs we discuss, on the companion Spotify playlist, which is linked to in the show description. So, hi everybody, how are we doing today?
Pretty good.
Doing great.
Episode 4 and all that.
We excited to talk about Johnny Cash this fine day?
Very excited.
American icon.
So, of course, everybody, I think, knows who Johnny Cash is. Born in Arkansas and one of the most popular music artists of all time. Certainly one of the best-selling at 90 million-plus records. And even though he is a country artist, he really speaks more to the general American condition. Outlaw country was a thing, but he certainly went into areas of rock, gospel, blues, and those kinds of things. But really, if I'm going to give a genre to Johnny Cash, the genre would be Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. He's in a class of his own. If you had to put him with others, I guess you'd bring up the Highwaymen, but really Johnny Cash is Johnny Cash.
The man in black.
American music indeed.
Americana in the OG sense.
Yes. Rockabilly.
Right. Let's get right into it and go back to the days of Sun Studio when a 50-plus year career was being forged. And Joel's going to give us our first consideration.
All right. Yeah. First one up to bat here is one of his early songs. He wrote this while he was in the military, serving in the Air Force over in West Germany in the early 1950s. It was, a song I think most of us are going to know. Listening here, it's Folsom Prison Blues, I think is a pretty quick green light in my opinion. So I look forward to hearing what you guys have to say about it.
So my first question to you is, are you talking about the studio cut or the live?
That's a great question. So he did have an original 1955 recording, which hit number one on the country charts. And then a live recording that was done in the late 60s, 1968, which actually charted on the Billboard Hot 100. So if you want me to make a differentiation, I think the version most of us are going to know or be the most familiar with will be that live 1968 recording.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure it matters to me in this case, but there's certainly a distinction. And actually, the first recording I think of is the original from 1955. Just because uniqueness of the sound. There is no drummer, and you kind of have Johnny Cash putting a piece of paper, like a dollar bill or something, underneath his guitar strings and strumming it to sound like drums, because they didn't have drums. I just think it's a good story there.
I think of the live version, but I think as consideration, whichever one we think of, both are important. And in considering this as a potential essential track, I don't necessarily know that it matters.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Now,
I don't think it does either. I misspoke. I misspoke earlier. The live version was number one on the country charts. The original was number four, so I flipped those. So the live version had more chart success, both on the country charts and in the Billboard Hot 100. So I wanted to correct that.
And perhaps that speaks to the magnitude of this song, that it charted in two different ways.
And really, also to the importance of the live version perhaps being the definitive version because it comes from a definitive record, one of the top all-time live albums, Live at Folsom Prison.
Well, you talk about the fact that he was playing at prisons was so edgy, but think about the lyrics. You know, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. I mean, he was thinking about what is the most senseless way I could think of a reason for killing someone and just wrote that down, you know?
I mean, if you told a teenager that that lyric came from Ice Cube, they'd believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I take a teenager is not going to know who Ice Cube is. Never mind.
You're really, a teenager 20 years ago.
You're really dating yourself there.
Yeah. Shoot.
That Elvis Presley is very controversial. Taking his hips.
Ice Cube.
Oh, that's great.
So not all of our content makes the podcast, right? We cut some things.
No, that stays. Do we have a vote, though, is the question.
Well, I'll go first, and it's getting the green.
Yeah, it's an automatic green line.
Yeah, absolutely. Automatic green. And we have our... We have our first, Folsom Prison Blues. All right, Ben.
Well, I had a few in the bucket I was going to consider, but I'm just going to go with the very first song that came into my head when we talked about doing Cash, and that's Ring of Fire. It's one of the most listened to tracks that he did. I think June Carter actually wrote the song, if I recall, but it was a number one hit single. I think it got up to 17 on the Billboard Hot 100 on the chart for 13 weeks. And it's a song that is known by even the most casual fans. It's an interesting track with the trumpet. I would imagine country radio hadn't seen a song quite like that. A little bit different production on it than I'm sure the songs that were charting at the same time in 1963.
Of course, a very prominent use of the so-called Mexican horn sound.
Yeah, the horn
the mariachi
flourish.
Kind of thing that had been popularized shortly before that by Herb Alpert. That's a very different sounding thing that's happening there. The most notable musical part of the song, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Written by a couple really interesting people, of course. That's Merle Kilgore and June Carter, who... I believe wrote quite a few songs throughout the country sphere. Of course, Merle Kilgore from not too far from where I grew up in East Texas, lived a long time in Shreveport, Louisiana, born in Chickasaw and spent a lot of time in Shreveport. So that's kind of interesting.
It's one of the things about a lot of these old time artists that's interesting to us because many of them really cut their teeth in the South and in through Texas and Louisiana with things like the Louisiana Hayride and things like that to really get a foothold. Even Cash playing in our hometown of Longview out in East Texas. So we feel like we have a little bit of a connection there because it's from our region. But of course it became the world's region and Ring of Fire is one of the first ones I thought of too. Did you vote, Jacob?
I don't know if anybody had voted yet.
Well, you're first, so.
Oh, I'm first.
Yeah.
Well, that's a green light. I mean, the first two selections they were on my list that I was going to consider anyway, so.
Yes, I also, had already decided Ring of Fire was on the list and gave it a green light.
And you'll hear no complaints from me. That's going to be the second song on the list. I also had it on my list here.
All right. So we've got Folsom Prison Blues and Ring of Fire, and we're off to a very agreeable kumbaya beginning. As we have started with two green-lit songs, and we'll jump over to Jacob.
Well, because Joel and Ben chose the songs they chose, then I'm going to, which I also had on my list, the next one that hasn't been talked about, but what I believe is essential, is I Walk the Line, which from 1956 does have a bit more of a local connection, allegedly. We're all from East Texas, and or, you know, either we live here or originally. And it is said that he wrote this song while backstage playing in Glade Water, Texas. And I believe that is disputed. but that seems to be the story. But I think it's a really, really great love song. And interestingly, it changes keys in every verse. That's something that always stuck with me as well.
Yeah, very interesting production on the song. I had heard that too. I think Johnny Cash actually claimed that fact about Glade Water.
Yes, and that's what I'd always read. But I also I can't remember for sure. But I think I read somewhere else where there's some varying stories. But I'll take the claim for our local connection that he wrote it in Glade Water, Texas.
As so often with these songs, the legend ends up being bigger than the story. And depending on, you know, when a song's going on 60 years having been written, I'm sure there's a lot of stories about it and no one knows the facts from the legend.
Yeah, and I think the legends are part of what make this particular genre and sphere of the music scene so fun for people. It's kind of, it has that aura about it, that feel of legends and that's just
and Johnny Cash himself, yeah, especially.
Absolutely. So I think that's great. And this is another one of his songs that had really strong charting success. It was another Hot Country number one. Hot 100 peaked at 17. So very successful in both charts.
Mm-hmm.
So I Walk the Line is probably the first song I actually thought of. And I mean, it was the song they used for the name of the biopic. So it's one that comes readily to mind for sure. I like everything about it. It is certainly representative of the chugga 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 sound that
boom,
he has.
Boom,
boom, chicka boom.
Boom,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. From that time. And it's a pretty raw emotional song for such a simple song. And, you know, when he claimed about writing it, he had just been married and he said he supposed that was his song of devotion. But it's got this this kind of haunting quality. It's not a "Ooh, baby, I love you" kind of a thing so much as an almost threatening is not the right word, but you understand what I mean by how it sounds. It's an almost
it's
frightening
serious.
Devotion.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very, very serious. If this was one essential track, I would probably pick "I Walk the Line." So it's a green light for me.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the last verse where he drops an octave, it kind of adds to that serious sound because it just kind of ends on that one long sustained green light for me. Absolutely.
It's reverent and perhaps even worshipful in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because you get back in his later years and he had a lot of songs that were, he became like religious and he had a lot of reverent songs.
Yeah.
About
God
and heaven and gospel. And so it's kind of funny. He took that and really rolled with it. And that kind of continued even as the subject matter of his songs began to shift a little bit. I'm going to green it also. I think what you said is true, that if it's one essential track, I think this would be a good pick. So I'm right there with you. I think we're going to green light this one in as well.
Well, there you have it. Folsom Prison Blues, Ring of Fire, and I Walk the Line. So we're around to me now, and I'm going to go with something completely different because we're down to two remaining songs. And so I've got two that I want to lobby hard for, so I'll pick one of those. This is not an original Johnny Cash song. Now, many of the songs he did were written by other people as well, but this is a cover in the sense that somebody else had a hit with it, and somebody else won a Grammy for it. But I'm not certain if I'm not doing a second essential track that I would not select 2002's Hurt, the Nine Inch Nails cover. There are maybe, you know, we're laughing earlier about what artists people today know or don't know. There's probably a large number of people today who know Johnny Cash for doing Hurt before
Absolutely.
Anything else. And Trent Reznor, of course, of Nine Inch Nails wrote it. And his comment was, that song isn't mine anymore. I mean, who says that about a personal song that could be anything about suicide to just detailing depression, and writes a song that personal and meaningful, and then somebody else records it and they say, well, that's not mine anymore. So I put up hurt.
Especially as Trent Reznor was unsure at the beginning of how that was going to go and thought it was a bit gimmicky, but it reintroduced Johnny Cash to a way younger audience. You know, that was kind of his late renaissance, very late, you know, kind of like Roy Orbison got his renaissance in the 80s after sort of languishing, being put into this, maybe this box of, you know, acts that were big in the 50s and 60s, legacy acts maybe. And he burst back onto the scene, and it's his most streamed song on Spotify by far, 500 million streams.
I have to say, I was a member of that crowd. I didn't listen to Cash a ton as a teenager, but I think I was 21 when this song was released, 22 perhaps. Yeah. Turned 22 that year, and it did cause me to explore his back catalog. You know, I was aware of all of his greatest hits, but I got really deep in the weeds, and I got really big into Cash that next year, and got all his albums and listened to him thoroughly. So I have to say, because of that, I have to credit this song with getting me into Johnny Cash, and I have to greenlight it because of that.
You know, it's also worth mentioning that this is Johnny Cash and the Heartbreakers. Mike Campbell and Ben Montinch both play on this.
Yeah.
And you have another Heartbreakers connection, or at least Tom Petty connection. And we talked about the producer of this song, Rick Rubin, in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he produced the song as well. But you're right, it was his late renaissance. It was recorded in 02, released in 2003, March of 03, just 6 months or so before that he died of diabetes that year. So this is kind of like a last hurrah of sorts for him. And I think it's a fitting addition to the list. So I'm going to greenlight it as well.
Like a lot of songs at that time, I was exposed to it from the music video. Actually, it's the first time I heard the song was on MTV, right, if I recall. And it left me with no words. The scene where he pours the wine on the table over all of his belongings, I had nothing to say for 5 minutes after I finished it, and immediately sought to listen to it again. Such a powerful song, such a powerful cover. As you mentioned, it's one of few songs where the cover is more well known than the original,
which won a Grammy.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
That whole album is worth just mentioning as a, if you don't know it, go back and look at it. It was American for The Man Comes Around, and he sounds so weary and yet so powerful.
Yeah.
And there's just some incredible stuff on there. If you really want to feel the way Ben's describing, which is basically just soul deep and what can I say, this is a great place to start. It's quite a work for a man who had, like I said, 50 plus years of work.
Well, you mentioned, did you say the original song won a Grammy? Is that correct?
Yeah.
And the video, which you mentioned, won a Grammy for Video of the Year. So, looks like they've both won Grammys. So
it gives me chills to just think about the song. Okay, so Ben had a green light there, Joel.
Oh, I greenlit it as well.
Oh, okay, I missed that. And then Jacob.
Oh, it's an absolute green light. Has to be on this list.
All right. Well, fellas, we've got an interesting thing going on here. We seem to be of one mind on four selections from Johnny Cash: Folsom Prison Blues, Ring of Fire, I Walk the Line, and Hurt. So there's just one more. Joel, it's back around to you.
Yeah, and I think this is where it's going to start getting a little bit hairy. This last fifth song, I think, is going to be difficult for us to pick. I'm going to go through a different kind of flavor of Johnny Cash, another song that he did not write. If you could even call it a song, that is the musical adaptation of a poem written by Shel Silverstein That is released in July 2nd of 1969 and kept out of the number one spot on the Hot 100 by Honky Tonk Women by the Rolling Stones. That's A Boy Named Sue.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's his biggest chart success.
I've always loved that one.
In the Hot 100, that is. This is his most successful charting song on the Hot 100.
Well, one of his lighter songs for sure. It's not addressing any great travesty other than naming your boy Sue. But it made him tougher, you see.
He seemed he had to fight his whole life through.
Yeah. It's a great little piece of trivia that when people don't know it, especially for people Ben's age and my age, where we sort of grew up with the Shel Silverstein poetry books, A Light in the Attic and Where the Sidewalk Ends. That was big players back in the 80s when we were growing up. And that's how we knew Shel Silverstein. And, you know, becoming an adult and finding out there were several songs he wrote, including this very popular one, is pretty wild. So Boy Named Sue. What do we think about that, fellas?
I think it's a great way to show off, as Joel said, it's a different side. He had serious music. He had outlaw country. I mean, we already talked about the edginess of Folsom Prison Blues and all of that. We talked about love songs. And now we have some humor, some novelty from Johnny Cash. And another song that comes to mind is... I forget what it's called. It's a song about the Cadillac. One Piece at a Time.
Yeah.
And then he also did...
personal favorite of mine. I love that
one.
He did
gospel, and then just showcasing all sides. I think this is a great selection and one that's... You always have a laugh because he could tell a story.
So, do you have a vote?
I would greenlight this.
I would... I like A Boy Named Sue, but I'm going to give it a yellow light. It was not one of the ones I originally... It was on my possibilities list. It's definitely one for consideration for all the reasons that were given there.
Yeah. Well, I did have it as my fifth song. I wrote it down as the fifth, so I have to give it a green light. It still has that, and you know, he didn't write it, but it still has that Cash edge. Cut off a piece of my ear. It's just it's such a great tune. Yeah, I'm going to give it a green.
The mud, the blood, and the beer.
So great.
Well, he took a poem and was able to interpret it, you know, into his own song. He's delivered it so well. I had like seven like really serious songs that I thought would be considered in. So if it's not this one, there might be one more or two more, but I'm content to give it a green light, as I said.
Okay, so I'm the one lone holdout on that one. So it'll be on your playlist. Be sure and go listen to Johnny Cash. Ben, you got a suggestion?
Yeah, I'm going to put forward Man in Black, as he was the Man in Black. We don't really have a protest song, which he, you know, another genre that he participated in. You know, it's about the people that are under the boot of wealthy politicians, and he addresses incarceration and a bit about Vietnam, and you know, he was a man of the people. Mm-hmm. And the song Man in Black just kind of puts those values on record.
Definitely one that I thought of. In fact, I hadn't heard it in a long time when we were preparing for this, and I went and listened to it. When I got to the end of it, I hit repeat and listened to it again, because it's a really cool song.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to it in a while, it kind of gives you chills when you listen to it.
And it's not the kind of protest song. It's a preachy protest song. It's in his own way. Like if you're listening to the lyrics, I mean, you'll get what he's saying, but if you're not paying close attention, you might not even notice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's why I wear black. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah. I like that song too. And it's one of the ones, one of the seven. So I guess this is a sort of a weird thing. If I should greenlight this when I've already greenlit a fifth, I don't know how that would work. But
you're free to decide on a song-by-song basis.
I suppose that we're still looking for the fifth one. So I'm actually going to give it a yellow light myself, though.
I would yellow it, too.
Well, we've come around to me, and I'll be honest with you. I wrote down seven songs that I thought of the seven songs, the five are on that list. This was my seventh song. So it's kind of funny. The first seven songs were the seven songs that I wrote down. So I have to give it a green light. I think that either A Boy Named Sue or Man in Black are fitting for the final selection. So I'm okay with either one of those. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a green light. Those were the seven songs that I wrote down. However, I am open to be convinced if there's one that we feel like is better. So I'll green light it for now.
Something tells me when we complete this turn around the table, we will have our fifth song out there.
I tend to agree with you. I think that's likely.
All right, Jacob.
Well, the seventh one for me was actually a song written by a fellow highwayman, Kris Kristofferson, a song that for Kris Kristofferson, he was able to quit his regular job and be a songwriter for real. I'm talking about Sunday Morning Coming Down, which is a number one hit on the Billboard Country Charts for Johnny Cash. And this is another very, very serious song, you know, about, you know, someone who's alone, destitute, you know, got nothing going for him. I mean, think about the first four lines of the song here. I woke up Sunday morning, no way to hold my head that didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. It really paints a picture of, you have nothing going for you in life. And Johnny delivers it so well.
Of the songs I wrote down, and again, I wrote down about a dozen. This one was definitely on there. And I feel like it should be on the list, but this is where it gets really hard because I think I learned while doing this that for Johnny Cash, I mean, even though I'm not like a completist, I don't know Johnny Cash's whole catalog. I've listened to a fair amount of it, and there's an album or two, the two we've mentioned specifically, that I think are downright essential for your record collection. I mean, you've got to have a copy of Live at Folsom Prison, and the next one I would go to is that last album. So, you know, what I learned from doing this, I guess what I'm saying is that really, five essential tracks for Johnny Cash is a whole lot harder than I thought it was going to be, because I think there's about 10, and this should be one of them, but for me, it's probably going to come in at about number seven, so I'm going to yellow light it.
I'm kind of leaning towards, and we'll see what, you know, we have for our last, for our eighth song that we're going to get here in a second, but I'm kind of starting to lean more towards Man in Black just because it was written by Johnny Cash. The other two were not, although I can see, you know, with A Boy Named Sue being, you know, a different kind of side of Johnny Cash that we could maybe consider. I'm going to go ahead and yellow Sunday Morning Coming Down, although I think it's a fantastic song and the lyrics are great, even if they weren't written by Johnny Cash.
Yeah. Talking about Johnny Cash reaching all generations. When you're looking for lyrics that the youth would think are pretty interesting, on the Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing Lord that I was stoned.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he performed the song on his own show, they tried to get him to say something else other than stoned. But of course, Johnny Cash being Johnny Cash, he refused and sang it the way it was written.
I mean, if that was released this year,
and talked about being stoned on national TV.
Yeah, that's edgy for 2023.
Yeah, even for today. I think it's important to, you know, to note that we're talking about, you know, Johnny Cash wrote a lot of songs, and he wrote several really, really, really good songs. But I think Johnny Cash is probably best remembered as an interpreter. You know, interpreting other songs, interpreting other works.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, we talk about Folsom Prison, Ring of Fire, I Walk the Line. Those are probably his three best songs that he wrote, you know, so we have those, and that's really good that we did that.
Yeah. For my vote here, I also had it, at eight. So I'm going to yellow it because, I went in with my five essential, and I think we've already had the fifth essential one named, but this one is right. It's an alternate tag for me.
I'm going to put one more forth, and then I think we're going to be able to come to a determination here. Before I mention it, I'm glad that Jacob mentioned One Piece at a Time. That's certainly one of my personal favorites that everybody could enjoy. I think one that I jotted down that I didn't think would make the list, but is one worth mentioning, is I've Been Everywhere. That's been so out there, and it's so great. just the quick seeing of listing of all the places where he's been, that's still great. And, you know, we haven't talked about Don't Take Your Guns to Town or I Still Miss Someone. Again, I just, without thinking about it, I thought, oh, Johnny Cash, that'll be easy. I came up with a whole lot more than I thought I would and realized, I guess, that I'm a bigger Johnny Cash fan than I thought I was even.
So many great songs.
Mm-hmm. But the one I'm going to go with is we've got one story song already. We've got two love songs. We've got an introspection. But that story song is something that this genre, the outlaw genre, the Americana genre, is known for. And so the other one that I wanted to put up is a story, and it's a story of a guy named Willie Lee. And Willie Lee had a little problem with an unfaithful woman. And so early one morning while he was making the rounds, he took this shot of cocaine and shot his woman down. I'm talking about Cocaine Blues, the story song of Willie Lee, who he finally gets caught up with. He's the dirty hack that shot his woman down. So there you go. Lordy, Lordy, have mercy on me. Cocaine Blues. What do y'all think?
It's another edgy song.
They love that at the prison.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Wikipedia does a classification of genres on songs, and I always find it to be entertaining just to check and see. One of the genres listed for this song is murder ballad.
Murder ballad.
Sure. I find that to be funny.
And that's interesting. I'm seeing that as well. You know, this song was originally recorded as a Western swing song in 1944. So, you know, we always have this sort of preconceived notion of how society was and how things were back in the day, a long time ago. But then you have songs about cocaine blues from the 40s. So it's another great song that's interpreted so well by Johnny Cash. It really plays to the room, you know, when he was doing it at the prison.
I tell you, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I got my hands back when it came out before the Hurt came out and the last album and everything. I got my hands on a Johnny Cash box set that came out in May of 2000, and it was a 3-CD set, and the 3 CDs were entitled Love, God, and Murder.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's great. That's great.
That right there, that's Johnny Cash for you.
That is.
And but I liked them all, but by far my favorite was the murder disc.
So for Cocaine Blues, I'm going to go ahead and yell it, although I do absolutely love the song. I think it's a good thing that we mentioned it at least, so it'll go on our companion playlist, because it is hilarious and great. So, but I will go ahead and yellow it.
Me too, for the same reason.
Yeah, shout out to the murder CD. I'll give it a yellow.
Well, guys, it's kind of funny the way this has worked. So when we hit that fifth song, each song, subsequent song, got more yellow lights as we went down. So Boy Named Sue had one, Man in Black had two, Sunday Morning had three, and Cocaine Blues had three. So I'm inclined to say it's either Boy Named Sue or Man in Black. What do you guys think?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think, you had a good point about Man in Black being a song he wrote. But on the other hand, A Boy Named Sue, a higher charter, it's probably more well known to casual fans. I think you can make a case for either one. What do you say, Jacob?
I agree with you. If we're going down to those two, it's going to be A Boy Named Sue. Just because it's a different it's a different style of Cash than we have on the other four, which, you know, is Folsom Prison, Ring of Fire, I Walk the Line, and Hurt. So we need this one kind of is two birds with one stone. It's kind of like a memorable interpretation of poetry by him. It's lighter. It's, you know, very entertaining. More, I mean, it doesn't quite rise to the level of novelty, but it is kind of in that vein in comparison.
Okay. I'm the only one that yellowed Boy Named Sue, and Jacob just convinced me for that reason that he was just saying primarily. Folsom Prison, Ring of Fire, Walk the Line, Hurt. I'm never going to smile. I might smile a little bit during Folsom Prison, but I'm not really going to smile or laugh or punch my buddy on the shoulder in any of those songs. And you need that from Johnny Cash. It's part of why I like Cocaine Blues. And it's part of that sense of humor, honestly,
yeah,
that you need with Cash. And I was about ready to go Men in Black. I was so close because it was a protest song. And I was going to say, that's the one I'm going to throw my weight behind. And then Jacob said that, and he's 100% right. Green light, A Boy Named Sue, five essential tracks.
Well, so let's very
talk
good.
About, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about some of the songs we haven't mentioned. We mentioned his work on covers. A song I really like is his cover of Dylan's It Ain't Me, Babe.
That's a great one too.
You know what? It's so different than Dylan's song. Dylan's is, you know, his usual kind of floaty and kind of a whimsical sound to it. The way Cash lands on babe each time and has such power behind it. It ain't me, babe. It's so pointed. I love it. My favorite Cash song is probably a song called Oni.
Mm-hmm.
He did, and you don't hear it very often, but it's about a guy waiting to retire. And as soon as he gets that gold watch, he's got something coming for his boss who's had him under his thumb for so long.
Great. I mentioned a few of those. The other ones I would mention are definitely I Still Miss Someone. That's a great one. And there was, Jackson, the duet with his wife, June Carter. And since Ben gave a one-word name that is his favorite, I will also tell you my very favorite Johnny Cash song. It also has a one-word name. It was, of course, from the murder album compilation. It's Delia or Delia's Gone. Delia's Gone might be the greatest murder song ever.
yeah. Fantastic.
I'll just throw one out there, a song that's a personal favorite of mine. Till Armageddon, No Shalom, No Shalom, When the Band Comes Around.
Yeah,
I think that's a great one. A great end of Johnny Cash's career song that I'm partial to because I don't know. Just something about that song makes you feel something.
It's great. Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's hard for thee to kick against the bricks. That's great. It's great.
I mean, you look back over, 50 years? 55 years-ish? Let's say 50, 60 years of recordings and 60-something studio albums. There's a lot. There's a lot to get into. So many different sides of Cash. So many different sounds. You know, so many different feelings you get when you listen to his music. It is true. You know, my first introduction to Johnny Cash was, for Ben, it was Hurt. For me, it was the movie, I Walk the Line, from 05. And I'm just rediscovering him a little bit in preparation for this episode. And really, it's, as Josh said, there's a lot more than meets the eye. There's a lot more than the Man in Black.
And you're right. There is a lot of variety. And yet all of it sounds so Johnny Cash. It's one of those people that you're pretty sure who it is even before he starts singing. But when he does, there's absolutely no doubt. You know it. Outstanding, fellas.
There's just, if I could add one more thing that I wanted to interject about his last album. You know, there's a colloquialism that rock and roll is for the young. But if you think about how often do albums chart for senior citizens, we just don't have too much music on the radio.
No,
and
that's
for
true.
Someone to make work that powerful at that age, it really speaks to his magnitude as an artist.
Well, even to get a hot producer from the time, well, still really like Rick Rubin to want to work on it, I mean, shows how important he was. But your point is very well taken. I mean, there are not a lot of 70-somethings on the radio in 2004. I can guarantee you that. And the 70-somethings that were still putting out music, it was legacy acts that were basically for real dedicated fans. This was relevant, needed music. And it's really difficult to come up with people whose last album is critical in their entire catalog. And his absolutely is, even though he's been putting them out for that long. I think there's little doubt I'm going to spend some more time listening to Cash in the coming days. And each of you listening should too. So here's your five essential tracks from Johnny Cash: Folsom Prison Blues, Ring of Fire, Walk the Line, Hurt, and A Boy Named Sue. Name them anything, Bill, George, anything, but not Sue. I am not Sue. I am Josh.
And I'm Ben.
I'm Jacob.
And I'm Joel.
And this has been Five Essential Tracks from Johnny Cash.